Hello out there, and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I'm your host. And my guest today, livestock feed department manager for 17 years at Jersey County Grain from 1996 to 2013. He happens to be in town today, and I've got him in the studio. Welcome, Tom Duringer. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks, Chris. Glad to be here. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, it's nice to see you. We go back.
We go back a ways.
Yeah, we do.
I have frequented several of your establishments over the years.
Yes, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Always great service, great food, and a good time.
And now you're frequenting my studio here at WJBM.
The word gets around.
Yes. Now, Tom, you weren't born here in Jerseyville, were you?
No, correct, Chris. I was, I'm in Gibson City, Illinois.
Sorry, this is only for locals. This is over with now. No, just kidding.
Funny.
No, go ahead. You were born in Gibson City.
Yeah, Gibson City, Illinois. Small town about 30 miles north of Champaign, Urbana, where the U of I is at. So I'm a big orange and blue fan, follow the Illinois faithful very well, football and basketball.
Yeah,
mostly.
I noticed you're wearing orange today. That's very
good.
Yeah,
I got some orange on. Yes. Got some blue jeans on, so I got that going. So mostly I just bleed orange and blue, but we've got a couple good teams going the last couple years.
Yeah,
so
we do. Yeah, we
do. Kind of fun to follow them. Then if you'd ever see my car out front, I've got a lot of Illini swag.
I noticed that. Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
you're decked out.
I'm decked out.
Now, you, how'd you end up in Jersey County?
Okay. Well, my short life story here real quick was after graduating Gibson City High School in 74, I went to Parkland College in Champaign for 2 years, studied ag production there. Then I went back to our family farm in Gibson City for 7 years. And then after that, I went into the livestock feed business, of which I stayed into for the next 34 years until 2016.
Yes. And that 20, now, are you a family man?
Yeah, family man. I've got 2 kids and 7 grandkids.
Good for you.
No great grands yet. I don't know what's going on there, but I suppose at some point that will happen.
And I understand that you are widowed.
Yeah, I'm a widow. My wife, Nancy, passed away this past summer.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
From Alzheimer's. So it was a struggle, but that's just part of life.
But now, see, what was the year that you switched careers and became an Uber driver?
Yeah, that happened in 2016. Like I said, at the end of my career, I finished up in southern Minnesota. The only reason I went up there is because they said it never snows there and it doesn't get cold. Well, they didn't tell me the whole story on that. So after that, I retired. And early in my livestock feed career, I had done a stint in Tennessee as a livestock feed territory manager. And when I went down there in 1984, I just fell in love with that country. I call it the 3 C's down there, the climate, the countryside, and the culture.
Yeah.
It just sold me then. So I stayed there until like 1990 and then came back. But I had vowed when I was there before that if and when I could retire, I was going to retire in Tennessee. So in 2016, after I finished up my feed career, I went back to Tennessee.
You know, Tennessee's a great state to live in.
It's a beautiful state.
I mean, not only, but aren't the taxes lower and they got a lot less?
Yeah, I call Tennessee a ruby red state. Which, unlike the great state of Illinois, which is very blue, Tennessee is very red, you know, politically wise and, you know, culturally wise, and it's very conservative.
Yeah, I got you. Anyway, so why an Uber driver?
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, I was ready to retire after doing, like I said, the livestock feed thing for 34 years. I knew I wanted to retire from that, but I wasn't ready to retire. Not a rocking chair for me.
I know the feeling.
Great. Yes. So when I was selling feed early in my career, I was a bit of a road warrior. I mean, I was on the road 4 or 5 days a week, home every night, but you know, I clocked quite a few miles. And I thought, well, I could do this Uber thing because I know you're going to be driving some miles.
Now, how many miles, or how many miles, how long had the Uber thing been going on in 2016? Had it been going on for many years?
Yeah, actually, Uber, good question, Chris. It actually started out on the West Coast, San Francisco, and L.A. in like 2009, 2010. It was originally called the Uber Taxi Company, but there were some legal concerns with that from the taxi cab companies. They didn't like that in the title.
Were they doing it the same format?
Yes. Well, it's not the same format. It's totally different, really. So they, when they went just to Uber only, each driver, how it works essentially is, like what I do, I'm just an Uber driver, so I provide my car, my time, the gas, the fuel, the insurance, and then Uber, through their app program, it's on a cell phone app,
yeah,
that's where the customers are.
Right.
And once we're approved to drive for Uber, we can access that app, and then that's when we can start getting ride requests from Uber, possible Uber passengers.
I got a quick question.
Fire away.
If you or I, I want to be an Uber driver, and I say, okay, but I only want to work like these certain hours. Is that possible?
Yeah, you can, because we're all considered independent drivers.
Okay.
So, and that is part of the Uber thing I like a lot, because we're independent contractors, so we work for essentially for ourselves. So essentially, we own our business.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have no bosses. We work the schedule that works best for us. And honestly, the money's pretty doggone good.
So how far in advance do you have to schedule with Uber on when you're going to work? A week at a time or something?
No, you just go onto the app and you just
clock in?
Just clock in, more or less.
And then you clock out?
And you clock out.
And then you're ready to roll?
Ready to rock and roll. I usually turn it on when I leave my driveway. I live in a town called Smyrna, which is about 20 miles southeast of Nashville, like you're going down Interstate 24 heading to Chattanooga. So Smyrna's, like I said, 20 miles out. It's kind of noted for having the big Nissan auto plant there. But like I said, I just turn the app on when I leave the driveway, and I start getting requests and just let it go where it takes you.
So how would you compare being an Uber driver to being a grain feed manager?
Well, really, again, the best part is I only have to report to myself, and the only people I've got to satisfy is the passengers that get in my car, which that's always been easy, because that part of the process has always been really pleasurable for me to do.
Before we get into talking about customers, I want to ask you this. I'm not asking you in particular, mm-hmm. okay? But I'm just saying, in general, what can Uber drivers make driving?
Well, that's kind of up to each individual Uber driver.
Let's say 40 hours a week.
Well,
what can they make? Does it depend on the city?
Depends on the city and the marketplace.
Can an Uber driver make it in Jersey County?
Not very well.
No.
You just don't have the customer base here. If you could get yourself to where you could drive down in the St. Louis market, it would be a whole lot better. But if you just try to survive in a market here that's got 8,000 or 10,000 people, that dog won't hunt.
Hey, well, how about if you go to St. Louis, how do I get up on the charts where I'm getting selected all the time?
You really have no control over that.
Are they just taking them one at a time?
It's just random. Usually the way after a customer requests a ride, like he's like downtown at the Cardinal Stadium, but he's got to catch a flight out at the airport.
Right.
He'll put it in a ride request to get from the stadium to the airport. And usually how it works is the closest Uber driver to that request, which is their cell phone, will get the first crack at that, ride.
And you'll get you as an Uber driver, you'll get the message. And
we'll then get a ping. It's like a ping.
And you go, and you ping back, okay, I got him.
We'll take it. We got about 5 or 10 seconds to accept or not accept that ride on our app.
I see. So. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Tom Derringer here with me. He's a he's from Nashville, Tennessee. Now he's an Uber driver in Nashville, Tennessee, but used to live and work here in the county. So, do you have any? I know there's got to be some safety concerns. When you're driving, you're going to pick somebody up. If you know, I mean, what about that?
That's a good question. Way I tend to look at
what if
it.
What if they decide to rob you?
Well, you hope that doesn't happen anymore. Now, Uber has screened all the passengers. They go through a verification process, basically to prove who they are. Like, you're really Chris Lorton. You really are from Jersey County. You're the age. Male. They go through a pretty extensive background check.
In a matter of seconds, they do that?
Yeah, that's done on the app. Anymore okay. when you sign up or if you've already signed up.
When you sign up for the app, that's where they do it.
They do that, or now they've come back and redone it again. Because when a passenger gets in our vehicle, no matter what that vehicle is, we do not know what they look like.
Yeah.
I have no clue. The passenger knows what the driver looks like.
Yeah.
Because that shows up on the app and the kind of car you're getting in. And so the license plate has got to match.
So they give the address where they're going to get picked up at.
Yeah.
Right. And you exactly. just pull up in your eyeball and you're looking for somebody.
You're looking for somebody.
And then
usually
how do you know if you get the right person?
Well, anymore, a lot of times they've got the phone in their hands and they're looking to see which direction you're coming from.
But there can be more than one.
Well,
person,
it could be 1 to 6,
especially
7.
Stand outside the stadium.
Right. It gets a little trickier then.
Yeah.
So, but I guess I've just been doing it long enough. I just kind of know who I'm looking for. I know I'm probably going to be picking up Joe Blow or whoever.
You got a name.
Got a name.
Yeah.
Got a name.
But no description.
No description whatsoever. Okay. So you just, I've just been doing it long enough. I just kind of have that sense to know. One thing. To go back what you were referring to, you want to be very cognizant of where you're at or the neighborhood you're picking up somebody in, because I'm just an old country boy. The town I grew up in, you know, it's 3,400 people, and I'm a small-town farm boy, as I describe myself. Well, now I'm in a city of 2 million-plus people, 50,000 tourists every day. You know, the music industry is based in Nashville. It's the center of the universe.
It's the party capital of the world.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
It really is.
I mean, per capita, there's no way any other place is like that.
Well, that's what makes the Uber business pretty unique there.
Yeah.
Besides, you know, just the population base we've got to draw from, we've got, you know, the music industry is based there. They employ 100,000 people. The healthcare service industry is based there. It's 300,000 people. You've got over 50,000 tourists every day coming in there to do whatever, what convention, movies, going to the Grand Ole Opry, going to go downtown on Lower Broadway and honky tonk. I mean, it's a little bit of everything.
A few years ago, my son George and I, when we were in the bar, we went on a burger and beer tour.
Now, there you go.
And we went to Nashville, went to Louisville, and went to Memphis, all in a matter of 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went boom, boom, boom. And we went to Nashville first. Nashville, we went. It was in January, and it was like on a Monday, and it was like New Year's Eve back here.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like wild.
Nashville's 20, 30 years ago, it wasn't quite like that, but it's just something that's happened over time where people want to go somewhere and have a good time. Like, we have a huge bachelorette invasion.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
I'm not exaggerating these numbers. It's like 5,000 of those girls.
More bachelorette than bachelor.
Oh, yeah. If you're a bachelor, you want to go there. I mean, just because. Nature being what it is, you want to go there. But there's 5,000 of those girls that come in every weekend. And they usually will come in on a Thursday, and they'll stay Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and go home Monday. Right to the bitter end. They're staying downtown until they have to get out to the airport. So it's pretty wild.
Do you ever pick up any of those girls?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how big a car do you have?
Well, I can haul, besides myself, I can haul four others.
Okay.
So it's...
Are they, Do you like picking up
They're fun. They can be a little on the wild side, but so can a lot of people down there. And anytime you mix a good time with alcohol, which happens a lot there.
Yeah, what's the percentage?
Oh, about 90-10. Maybe 100-1. I mean,
So you're working the strip mainly.
Well, I work wherever, you know, the pinger on the app takes me. But when it's on a weekend, I mean, you're going to make a lot of trips down to Lower Broadway. That's what we call the strip there, because there's over 50 honky tonks there now. We don't call, you know, up here you call it bar hopping. Down there, it's honky tonking. So if you're a Yankee like yourself, because that's what I am, I'm a damn Yankee because I moved down there and stayed. But if you're down there, you don't want to say you're going bar hopping. You want to say you're going honky tonking, because then that just gives them an excuse to charge double for the already expensive drinks. Just a word to the wise.
And their drinks are expensive.
It's not cheap.
It's very expensive.
It's very. It's like going to a ball game.
Well, expensive. I think it's even more than that. I mean, even in a dive bar, $8 for a beer?
Yeah.
$9?
The ultimate dive bar down there, and there are several, but one down there, it's about 2 miles south of downtown, it's right across from the new soccer stadium. It's called Santa's Pub, and it is a dive bar. Don't ask me how I know this, but I do know this. But it's basically two double wides put together with a trailer in the middle of it.
They let that happen?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's money for Nashville. You bet they make it happen.
That surprises me.
Over $30 million a day is spent on tourist revenue in that town. $30 million a day. I will repeat
$30 million is coming in
a day. So that's over $10 billion a year coming into that tax base in Nashville. So it's either from hotel tax, booze tax, food tax, you name it, but it's coming in. It's crazy. Just absolutely insane.
I know. It is crazy. Mm-hmm. George's, right?
Yeah, sure.
Well,
fine establishment.
Yes. Well, we had the building. I'd picked up the building, but didn't know what I was going to do with it. Wasn't really planning on opening a bar or restaurant. Mm-hmm. Wasn't planning on it. But my kids caught wind of it. And they said, oh, we got to do something with that. So I got four of them, all in their 20s at that time. Okay, well, I said, okay, we'll think about it. And then Brenda and I went down to Nashville for the first time. And I can't believe that it was that long, but it was just about 8 years ago. We went down, and we were in one of the dive pubs, and we just looked at each other. Oh, this is what we got to do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you've been in Georgia, you know that's the format. You know,
yeah,
and all
right.
of them are like, and actually, too, people don't know this, but Jerseyville's architecture, that style of architecture, is all over America, and it's in Nashville. It's the same type of buildings.
Sure it is.
You can find them there. You can find them out west.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all over. But
Well, you did some really good recon work in doing that. And the big thing down there now is with all these honky tonks, at least a third to half of them have rooftop bars.
Yeah,
it's huge.
I know.
And you know, like Tootsie's Orchid Lounge, that's the most well-known.
Oh, that's where it is.
Yeah,
that's...
it's the most well-known. It's been there for over 60 years. One guy owns that one now and about four or five others, and he's just making a killing. But it's got three floors, and there's bars, and then there's, you know, live entertainment on each floor. There's always a live band. There's actually a local guy down here from Jerseyville that plays there at Tootsie's all the time.
Jake Meyer.
Yeah, Jake.
Yep.
Yeah, I know Jake.
Yeah.
And he's there all the time.
He does the day shift.
Yeah, he does the day shift. Yeah.
And we play his music on the station here. And also,
good guy.
He comes and plays in Jerseyville every once in a while.
He's played at the Grand Ole Opry before. So, I mean, he's done the circuit, but he seems to have settled in there at Tootsie's.
He likes that.
Yeah.
He enjoys
that. That's his thing.
Yeah. You know, he's got five kids.
Oh, my goodness. No, I did not know that.
He lives out in the outside of town, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like on a farm, got chickens, horses.
There you go.
And quite a family man, believe
it or not. Yeah. No, he's a good guy. You know, he's
married a local girl.
Okay.
You know that?
No, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really didn't know of him until I moved down there. Isn't that funny? You could live here for 17 years. Well, hey, there's somebody from your hometown there.
You know, Tom, we're about out of time here on this interview. We got a couple minutes left.
Sure.
But I think I might have you back. We're gonna end with some words of wisdom on this interview, all right, about going to Nashville. And then I'll have you back and we'll talk about some of the people and some of the things that went on
while
you've been in Nashville. So,
well, I would advise people that go down there. I mean, that lower Broadway, the strip, that's designed for the tourist. And honestly, the locals that live there kind of avoid it like the plague because it's just set up that way. It's very expensive, very fun to go to, but when you live there at it every day,
there's other spots to go.
There's other lots of places in Nashville to go to.
Okay, we'll talk about them on the next show.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
How's that?